Well, good morning, church.
My name is Michael Turner. I'm one of the pastors here at Mount Horeb. And today we're going to be continuing our sermon series on the I Am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. So over the past several weeks, we have learned that the Old Testament backdrop of Jesus's I Am statements is the Exodus story, where God called Moses to go to Egypt and confront Pharaoh and lead his people out of slavery in Egypt. Now, at the time, Moses was a shepherd, which is very interesting for what we're going to talk about today. But Moses was a shepherd. He was minding his own business, keeping watch over his father-in-law Jethro's flocks, when all of a sudden God spoke to him from a burning bush at a place called Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. So God speaks to Moses, he calls him to go to Egypt, and Moses' response is, hey, God, they're going to ask me who sent me, so what should I tell them? And God tells Moses, you tell them, I am who I am sent you. I will be who I will be. You go tell them that is the one who has sent you. So God identifies himself very early on in the story of the people of God as the great I Am, the one who created the universe and flung the stars in their courses, the one who stands outside of time, the one who is eternally present tense, I Am. Now that's important because there is no question that when Jesus makes his I Am statements in the Gospel of John, he makes them in such a way that they hearken back to that story in the Old Testament. And in so doing, Jesus is identifying himself as being at one with the Father. He's identifying himself as the one who existed before time. He's identifying himself as the great I Am. And each time he says one of those I Am statements, he's adding another element to it. Now, so far, we've talked about the I Am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. And today's I Am statement is I am the good shepherd. And so we find that statement in John chapter 10. If you have your Bibles with you, I want to invite you to turn to John chapter 10. And I want to invite all of us to stand as we read God's word together. We'll begin with verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again, for this is what my Father has commanded. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So with each one of his I Am statements, Jesus is revealing a little bit more about who he is, about his character and his identity. But when it comes to some of those other I Am statements, we have a little bit more background knowledge. So we have a little more of a leg up on understanding what Jesus is communicating with his statement. For example, I'm fairly familiar. You can take one look at me and tell that I'm fairly familiar with bread. So I understand a little bit more about what Jesus means when he says, I am the bread of life. I've been through a lot of doors. I know how a door operates. So I understand a little bit of what Jesus says when he is saying, when he says, I am the door. But, and I'll speak for myself for just a moment. When it comes to sheep and shepherding, my knowledge runs out really quickly. So this week, I had to really dig in and do some study to increase my ovine knowledge. Now, here's some things that I learned. First, I learned the word ovine. I'd heard the word bovine before. I know that has to do with cows, but I'd never heard the word ovine. That has to do with sheep. So I learned the word ovine. Secondly, I learned that sheep are the most frequently referenced animal in the Bible. If you combine the words shepherd, sheep, ewe, and lamb, those words are found in Scripture 700 times. Also, throughout the entire Old Testament, God is referred to as the shepherd of his people, Israel. We're probably most familiar with Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. But just to name a few, that same imagery is found in Isaiah 40, Jeremiah 34, Ezekiel 34. In fact, this week I want to invite you sometime this week to read Ezekiel chapter 34 because there are lots of parallels between Ezekiel 34 and what Jesus says in our passage for this morning from John chapter 10. Jesus says, all that to say that when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he is tapping into a long tradition of divine imagery, identifying himself with God, who is the shepherd of the people Israel. But of all the things that I learned this week about shepherds and sheep, the thing that captured my attention the most is the depth of relationship that existed between shepherds and sheep, or that exists between shepherds and sheep. There is a bond, a trust, a connection between sheep and their shepherd that I just didn't know existed until digging into this. Now, since most of us never have been, nor will we ever be shepherds, I was trying to think of a more familiar analogy to try to capture the intimacy of the relationship between sheep and their shepherd, and that's when I thought of man's best friend. You know what I'm talking about, right? In fact, I want to introduce you to our family's best friend. This is Hazel. Now, we've had Hazel for about 7 years. She weighs 35 pounds. She is a very excitable, very sweet, and smart, happy-go-lucky mini Labradoodle. At least that's what they told us she is. Mini Labradoodle. Now, I had several dogs when I was growing up. I had a Border Collie at one time. I had a Yellow Lab. At one point, we had an Irish Setter and a Dalmatian. But Hazel is the best dog I've ever had. Now, to be fair, all the other dogs I had growing up were outside dogs. We didn't have dogs living inside when I was growing up. And so they kind of fended for themselves to some extent. They weren't really trained. You would just call them farm dogs. So they might listen when you called them, or they might just chase a squirrel. You never knew exactly what they were going to do. Hazel, though, is different. She has become a part of our family. She lives inside with us. She knows our rhythms. She understands a fair amount about life in our household. In fact, every morning when my alarm clock goes off, she hears it, and she comes and stands in front of the door to our bedroom and waits. If it takes me too long to come out, she starts to whine, because she knows that she is waiting for breakfast and she's ready for that to happen. So she sits there and waits. When she needs to go out, she knows how to signal us. When she's ready to come back in from outside, she will stand in front of the glass door looking in with those sad puppy dog eyes until somebody comes and lets her in. When we lived in Greenville, when she was ready to come in, she would knock. That's what we called it. Because she would take her paw and hook the spring-loaded screen door and pull it back and let it slam shut. And if you didn't come fast enough, she'd be patient at first, but if you didn't come fast enough to let her in, she'd start doing it over and over and over. Hazel was knocking. When she hears the refrigerator door open, she makes a beeline for the kitchen. When she hears the garage door open, she goes and waits for the person who's coming in. She understands what's going on in our household. And no matter what she's doing, if I call her name, she comes running. She knows her name, and she knows my voice. In fact, she doesn't just know my voice, she knows the tone of my voice, because if I get serious or stern with her, she snaps to attention really quickly. Now, she loves my wife, Heather, more, but she listens to me more. That's Hazel. And I'm guessing there are probably a few dog owners out there in our congregation. Anybody have a dog lives? Yeah, I thought we might have a few dog owners. And maybe what I've described for Hazel is true in your household too. Because over time, taking care of your pet's needs, over time, living with and loving your pet, you learn its personality. You learn its tendencies, its idiosyncrasies, and after a while, trust develops. Over time, a bond starts to be created between owner and pet. Well, the same thing happens between shepherd and sheep. In fact, that's the first thing I want to highlight from this passage this morning, is that the good shepherd knows and guides his sheep. There is a bond, a trust, a level of intimacy between sheep and their shepherd, at least so long as the shepherd is a good shepherd. The good shepherd knows his sheep. This is verse 14 of our passage again. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. First century Middle Eastern shepherds spent all day and all night with their sheep. All day, every day, they were with them. And it's not like in those days the shepherd could just play Candy Crush or scroll Facebook while the sheep were out there grazing. But they didn't have those distractions. Shepherds attentively watched their sheep, not simply watching for predators, but also studying each one of their sheep. Now, to an outsider, all the sheep in a flock might just look identical. One might be indiscernible from another, but not to the watchful eye of the shepherd. Over time, the shepherd would learn the personalities and the tendencies and the idiosyncrasies of every one of those individual sheep. He would be able to predict their reactions. He would be able to anticipate their needs. In Jesus' words, the good shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. The sheep don't just know about the shepherd. They know him. They trust him. They depend upon him for their very lives. Now, if we go back in chapter 10 to some of the earlier verses, we get to verse 3. This is what Jesus says. The sheep recognize his voice, the voice of the good shepherd, and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That means if the sheep are wandering too far from the flock, the voice of the shepherd can call them back. It means that if the sheep are scared, the voice of the shepherd can calm them. It even means that if there are two shepherds who have their flocks merged together and get all mixed up, they can each call their sheep, and their sheep will separate themselves and follow the voice of their shepherd because they know the voice of their shepherd. We get to verse 4 of chapter 10. It says this: after he has gathered his flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. this week I was reading a book called Scouting the Divine, and the whole first chapter was about sheep and shepherding. The author, Margaret Feinberg, spent some time with a couple out in Oregon who raise Shetland sheep. And one of the things that that couple said about shepherding is that if you try to move sheep from one place to the next, you can't drive them like cattle. They said if you try to push sheep from the back of the flock, the sheep will get very anxious and they'll start to scatter. So you can't drive them. With sheep, you have to lead them from the front, and then they will follow. They'll follow the voice. They'll follow the leading of their shepherd. So then you can guide them, not drive them to water or to good pastures or to safety. When it comes to our good shepherd, he wants to know us, and he wants us to know him. He doesn't just want us to know about him. He wants to be in intimate relationship with us. He wants us to trust him, to depend upon him, but he will not force us. He'll walk ahead of us, and he'll guide us, but he won't drive us. He won't corral us against our will, but instead he will call us to follow and to be in relationship. And we, as sheep, simply have to answer the call and follow. So the good shepherd knows and guides his sheep. But that's not all, because the good shepherd also protects his sheep. Now, I've already introduced you to Hazel this morning, but I need to tell this story. So before we moved to Lexington, our backyard in Greenville wasn't fenced in. We did have an invisible fence, and it did a good job of keeping Hazel in. But what it didn't do was keep any dangers or other dogs out. And so one afternoon a few years ago, I was out on the porch, Hazel was out in the yard, and all of a sudden I heard some yelling from beyond the woods behind our house, the neighborhood that was behind ours. And I looked up to see this very large pit bulldog mix emerge from the woods and bound into our yard. And as soon as I saw that dog, so did Hazel, and she took off running toward that dog. Because here's the thing, she thinks that every dog just wants to play with her. And what I found is not all dogs are keen on that. And so I looked up, I see this big, intimidating looking dog, and I think, oh no, that dog will kill her. So without even thinking, I bounded down the steps of our porch, across the yard, after Hazel, straight toward that dog. Now, a combination of things happened. Thankfully, I think me running straight at that dog sort of startled and confused it, and it didn't know what to do. And seconds later, its owner also emerged from the woods and grabbed the dog. So, very quickly, crisis averted. Now, I was reflecting on that a little bit later from the safety of my screen porch, and I thought, boy, that was dumb. I mean, that was a big dog, and if that dog had attacked me, it would have been bad. I mean, at least Hazel's really fast. She could have outrun that dog, but I couldn't, and he would have probably torn me up. But I didn't have time to think. I only had time to react, and my reaction was to run toward the danger to protect my dog. That's a tiny fraction of what Jesus is saying here that the good shepherd does. The good shepherd will put himself in harm's way. This is verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Now, of course, here Jesus is foreshadowing his death on the cross. In fact, three different times in this passage, he talks about how the good shepherd will sacrifice his life for the sheep. And then he contrasts his good shepherd love with the kind of behavior that a hired hand would have. This is verse 12. A hired hand will run when he sees a pit bull. I'm just checking to see if y'all are paying attention out there. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus is no hired hand. Jesus is the good shepherd who will charge headlong into any danger. The good shepherd who will do battle with the wolf or any other predator or a thief or a bandit. Now, we know from this passage that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but the good shepherd will stand and stare down the face of danger to protect his sheep so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That is our good shepherd. So the good shepherd knows and guides and protects. But the good shepherd also seeks and saves his sheep. The good shepherd seeks and saves his sheep. Now, earlier I mentioned that there are a number of parallels between what Jesus says here in John chapter 10 and Ezekiel chapter 34. I just want to share with you Ezekiel 34. This is verse 11. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. When shepherds were roaming the countryside with their sheep, they're also constantly counting. This is one of the things I read this week. They're constantly, sort of like a teacher on a field trip. You know, teachers are constantly counting the students to make sure nobody is left behind. They get on the bus, okay, let's count and make sure all the students are here. Or you get to the museum, yeah, okay, let's count and make sure, okay, we got everybody. Well, shepherds were also constantly count their sheep because they want to make sure that they don't leave any sheep behind. They don't have any lost sheep. And here's the thing about sheep. They have a tendency to stray from the flock. As the old hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, come thou fount of every blessing. Well, that's true for sheep and sheep and human sheep. We're prone to wander. We're prone to stray. And Jesus, the good shepherd, is one who will seek after the sheep. You know, I think it's not that sheep set out to get lost, but they do tend to nibble themselves into lostness. Head down, following one tuft of grass to the next until they just lose sight of the rest of the flock. If you've ever been at the beach and you've been swimming in the ocean, you probably know how easy it is to lose sight of how much the current is pulling you down the beach or how fast the current will pull you out over your head into the deep. And if you're not careful, you can look up and realize, whoa, I am far away from where I should be. And you can very quickly get into trouble. I imagine that's similar to what happens to sheep straying from the safety of the shepherd. And if you happen to be here this morning, either you're here in the room or you're watching online, and that strikes a chord. Because though you didn't intend to, you didn't set out to stray away, you just kind of got caught up in the current. You had your head down, your attention diverted. Life happens, and before you know it, you've wandered away from the safety of the shepherd. Well, I want you to hear this morning, and these are his words, not mine. I want you to hear that the good shepherd, Jesus, came to seek and to save those who were lost. That's his entire purpose for his whole ministry. He said, I came to seek and to save those who are lost. His love is relentless and boundless, and he wants to lead us home. You know, sometimes it's not so much that the sheep get lost and can't find their way back. Sometimes it's that they get hurt or stuck and they can't make it back. This is Ezekiel 34:16. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak. In all my research over the past week or so on sheep, I learned a brand new term. The term is cast sheep. C-A-S-T, cast sheep. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. I'd never heard of that. But a cast sheep is a sheep that rolls on its side or on its back and then can't get up. And this happens more even when it's been a while since the sheep has been sheared and the weight of the wool makes them top heavy, or ewes, when they're pregnant with little lambs, they get more top heavy, and so they get on their side, or even worse, they get on their back, and they can't get back up. They can kick, and they can struggle, but they cannot get up. A cast sheep that has no shepherd, that has nobody to come to it and put it back on its feet, will absolutely die. Cast sheep. It reminded me of something that Pastor Jeff said a few months ago. He said, sometimes we only look up when we're flat on our back. Hello now. Sometimes we only look up when we're flat on our back. And some of us know what that's like. We know what it's like to have life knock us flat on our backs. We know what it's like for our sinful choices to land us in a spot where we are utterly stuck. And we can struggle and we can fight all we want to, but there's nothing we can do to get ourselves. It's like a turtle lying on his back of his shell. Now imagine being flat on your back, kicking and struggling to get up to no avail, and then in the limited window of your vision looking up, imagine seeing the loving face of the Good Shepherd who has come to seek and to save, who has come to pick you up and put you back on your feet and set you on the right path. What a relief that would be. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells a parable about a shepherd who has 100 sheep. And one of them goes missing. And what does the shepherd do? Well, the shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes out to scour the countryside in search for that one lost sheep. Now, you might at first blush hear that story and think, I don't know if that's a great business decision. Because for a shepherd, his entire livelihood is caught up in the sheep. And so you're going to leave the 99. You know where they are. You know they're safe. You're going to leave the 99 and go search for the one, and you don't know what's happened to that one. Well, Jesus says, yes. The good shepherd will leave the 99 to go search for the one. And remember, Jesus tells us that the good shepherd knows his sheep by name. So it's not just a number. It's not just, oh, sheep number 42 is missing. I'm going to go look for it. No, it's, well, the sheep named Travis or Trevor, or the sheep named Melody or Michael, that sheep is missing, and I am going to stop at nothing until I search out that one lost sheep. Every number has a name, and the good shepherd cares about each and every one. So yes, the good shepherd seeks and searches and scours the countryside for that one who is lost. That's who he is. He will not give up on us. There is no quit in our good shepherd. He won't ever call off the search. So this morning, if you're a parent who has been praying for your wandering and wayward sheep, your little lamb, don't give up. If you've been praying for your spouse or your coworker or your friend, don't stop, because the good shepherd never will. And we can join him by praying for those who have strayed. A few years ago, I learned something about Psalm 23 that was revolutionary to me. Now, you likely know how Psalm 23 starts. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then King David, who wrote Psalm 23, walks us through all the things that the good shepherd does for us. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He protects and comforts us. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, his rod and staff comfort us. But it's that last phrase of the psalm that it really took on a new meaning for me when I learned that the word, the last phrase says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's the King James Version. Well, a few years ago, I learned that the Hebrew word that gets translated "follow" in that passage is the word "radaf." Say that with me. Radaf. All you Hebrew scholars out there, you might already know this, but the word radaf is really more active than follow. It means to chase, to pursue ardently, to aim eagerly, to secure. I love how the New Living Translation renders it. It says, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's more than just a passive sort of meandering along behind. It is a very active pursuit. The goodness and unfailing love of the Good Shepherd chases, pursues, tracks us down. And honestly, the relentless love of Jesus is our only hope to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A few minutes ago, our children sang, "Your goodness is running after me. My life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me." That is the only right response to the Good Shepherd's love, a love that is so fierce and furious that it cost Jesus everything. 3 different times in this passage, Jesus said the Good Shepherd will sacrifice his life for his sheep. He's not just willing to, he will give up his life for the sheep. And so that's the irony of this passage. The Good Shepherd is also the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. That's how much Jesus loves us. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of the Good Shepherd will lead him to die in order to save us. This morning, if you're here or you're watching online and you've never said yes to the Good Shepherd who sacrificed his life in order to save us, I hope that today will be the day that your life will be laid down, you surrender now and give your life to him. I pray that today would be the day for that. Hope you'll receive the gift of salvation. It only requires us to acknowledge our need for it, acknowledge our sinfulness, acknowledge that we are flat on our back. We are cast humans. We are struggling. We can't do anything to get back on our feet. We need the grace of our Savior. And when we receive that, he sets us back on our feet and on the right path. If you're here this morning and life has knocked you flat on your back, I want you to hear that the Good Shepherd wants to pick you up, put you on your feet, and lead you home. He wants to bandage the injured and strengthen the weak. If you're here this morning and you know that you've wandered, you didn't intend to, but you looked up and realized you have strayed far away from the safety of the flock and the Good Shepherd, I hope you'll hear the voice of the Good Shepherd calling you home. And finally, if you're here this morning and you've been praying for your wandering and wayward loved ones, don't give up. Never give up, because the Good Shepherd won't call off the search. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing our closing hymn. And as we sing, I want you to know that the altar is open. If you'd like to come and get on your knees before God, you are welcome to do that. But let us pray together. Gracious God, we can never say thank you enough for your amazing and relentless love for us, your sheep. You are our good shepherd. We know that you want to know us, to be in intimate relationship with you. We know that you want us to know you, not just about you, but truly know you, trust you, depend upon you. And God, I pray that if there's anybody within the sound of my voice this morning who has never trusted, who has never surrendered, we pray that today would be the day. Or for those of us who feel like life has knocked us flat on our backs, and we kick and we struggle, but we can't seem to get up, I pray that we would be overwhelmed by your gracious hand, that we'd feel you picking us up, bandaging our injuries, strengthening our weaknesses, and setting us back on the right path. And God, we lift up to you our loved ones, whom we desperately desire to have a relationship with you. And we pray not only that you would continue the search, you would continue the pursuit, the chasing, but God, we pray that they would hear your voice and come home. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior, and all God's people said, amen.